Hello and welcome to yet another edition of Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My name is Alan Scott. This is the place where you can turn to find valuable information to help you step off that proverbial ledge. You're on contract today. You're saying to yourself, why? Why am I working for, quote unquote, the man? I'm doing the air quotes. Why am I working for the man when I can be doing this on my own? Well, is it that simple? Are you ready to do that? Do you feel as though you are capable of handling all of the day-to-day operations, plus growing a business, being responsible for other people and their families and such? No pressure. Yes, it can be done. And this is the place where we give you valuable nuggets that'll help you make that transition. I'm here in the offices of Exceptional Software Strategies with Vice President of all things Exceptional Software Strategies, Mr. Randy Ambule. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me in today.
Thank you for coming. It's been a long time coming. We've been trying to make this happen for a little while, and for whatever reason, things have fallen by the wayside. But here we are.
Yes.
In a lovely, this is, where are we, Hanover?
Technically, this is Linthicum.
Linthicum. Okay. Linthicum. I chose Exceptional Software Strategies as a company to speak to because, well, lots of reasons. Number one, I consider them a trusted partner. Columbia Technology Partners and Exceptional Software Strategies work well together. Number two, Randy's a great guy. Number three, they've got something going on here that I think companies that are, or people that I think are considering taking that step that we talk about, probably should be aware of, because they're doing it and they're doing it very well. Before we dive into what it is,
yes,
Randy, tell us a little bit about ESS.
So Exceptional Software Strategies has been around for 21 years, actually. So we're not a, you know, Johnny come lately, right? We're not a small mom and pop business. So we've been around for 21 years, and yes, we did start here, right, in this market, right, in the intelligence community market. And the company has really thrived on all things IT. So yes, the name says Exceptional Software Strategies.
Sure.
And yes, when the company first started, it was primarily doing database work, right? Front-end software development work, that kind of thing. But over the years, we really have broadened all the labor categories that we support. So it's easier to say what we don't do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't pull cable, and we don't do rack and stack.
And you probably don't do toilets.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, it's easier to say what we don't do, and
sure,
that's what we don't do.
Sure.
But software engineering, system engineering, right, information assurance, right, all those types of labor categories that could either be on the development side of the house or on the CETA side of the house. We can work both sides. We have people firewalled off doing CETA work as system engineers, mm-hmm, as financial analysts, whatever. But the point is we can play just about anywhere.
So you touched upon a couple of things there. Number one, you started off not as a niche organization, but an organization with a slimmer scope than you have today.
Yes.
What made you decide to broaden? Was it the landscape? Was it the ability to grow? Expand on that.
Well, it was just opportunities, right? So we did start out as a small 8A company, right? Minority owned small 8A company. And so that gave us a leg up on a couple of opportunities, gave us a chance to broaden a little bit with that ability to bid some of those contracts as an 8A. And so that gave us a chance to broaden, to look at other labor categories, but it also came as a result of organic growth, right? On the contracts that we were on, we just were able to grow them into new areas or into associated areas,
mm-hmm,
and keep growing that way. So it's important for people to know that don't ignore the power of organic growth, because it's there, but you have to work it just like you have to work anything else.
Organic growth versus winning a contract,
exactly,
and bringing in other companies. Which one is more difficult? You've been on both sides.
Oh, so it just depends on the market. Considering how long we've been here, I've been with Exceptional for 16 of those 21 years, so I wasn't, mm-hmm, here, you know, at the very beginning. However, let's face it, ever since sequestration started, the market is different.
Yeah.
And so that really has had an impact. not only in terms of what we might do, but on how the government, how the customer is reacting to sequestration, how the customer is reacting to different acquisition strategies. And so we have to go with what they're doing and figure it out, right? When they start making these big long turns and changes in their acquisition landscape, that has an effect on us. And so there are times when it's been easier to do organic than it has bidding and vice versa.
Right.
So it just depends. I'm sorry to say.
How difficult is it to wag the dog?
I mean, there are opportunities for you to go in and actually help impress upon the government that this is the way it should go. I'm sure you've been in a lot of those meetings.
Look, the problem right now, and let's talk now.
Sure.
Right? Because
sure.
People want to know about now.
Sure.
It is difficult when let's call them the gatekeepers for the customer, have very little experience. They've only been in the job for 5 years, 4 years,
right?
They're still wet behind the ears and are still going by the book, whatever the book happens to be about.
Right.
And I'm like, seriously? I've been doing this for 37 years. You know, no, there are ways to do this. Look, you can do this. So many times we find ourselves educating the customers in some instances because they just don't, you can do that? Yeah, you can do that. Right? I mean, it's legal. I'm not doing anything unethical here.
Right.
But, you know, those are the rules you were just taught in school, right, in your class. But, you know, you need to also talk to some of your more senior people to see, you know, where can I be flexible?
That's really funny you say that, because there are so many, and I can make so many analogies, and I'm sure those of you listening can probably come up with analogies in your own day-to-day life where I take radio, for example. You can go to a broadcasting school all day long and learn by the book how to do something, but once you walk those shoes and realize that's not exactly how it works, and still within the bounds of legal bounds, you can still get your job done. That book learning is great. It gives you a foundation on which to build real life experiences.
Right. And so let me just give you one quick example.
Okay.
An easy example. It wasn't recent. This was about, I don't know, maybe 3-4 years ago. Oh. So we won a job, we bid a job. Part of it was incumbency. We had some work. We bid another piece of work, which included work we were doing today. Okay?
Okay.
And so the first 10 resumes that I submitted for the new positions, which were the old positions, the first 10 resumes that I submitted, all 10 of them were rejected. And these were people doing the job today.
Right.
Please, seriously? Oh, and by the way, one of those people, he's the only person that does that job. If he gets hit by a bus, they're screwed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, come on. Yeah. And so, you know, it took, you know, a couple of weeks to work through how to help them follow their rules and still make it acceptable and legally. Right, to allow these people to transition into the same job.
Yeah,
you know. Oh my gosh,
that's somewhat insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
the definition of insanity, right there. How are you? I'm Alan Scott. You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, and of course federalnewsradio.com. My guest is Randy Ambule. He's Vice President of Exceptional Software Strategies. We're talking about business and how business in the Intel community works, or at least works in our area. Now, we talk about Intel community as one set group of people that you talk to. However, it may not necessarily, especially these days, behoove you to put yourself all in one bucket. Diversification is key. How much commercial work, if any, does ESS do, and how difficult is that to come by?
Right, so we are doing just a very, very small amount of commercial work right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's something we really would like to pursue some more with some current, let's just say, current changes going on within the company. It's hard to really focus on that right now. We need to sort of just make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's with what we're doing. But it is something we want to pursue, especially considering that there's a number of contract employees within the intelligence community that are leaving because of all the difficulties in the current work environment with the government customer.
Very well put.
So so they're leaving and actually, you know, finding jobs even with higher pay. Normally you would we would think, oh well, if you're cleared, you're gonna have 10 to 20% more salary. Well, no, because of since sequestration and everything else, the customer's been driving the prices down. I know they blame us, but no, it's their acquisition strategies, right?
We dance within the rules they've given us.
That's right. And so they're losing good talent. So I would like to find more unclassified work so that I can keep that good talent and not see it walk out the door.
Is there a benefit to having people with a clearance able to transition to the commercial world? Like, is there a benefit to the commercial world that they might be bringing on the unclassified level? Skill sets and such?
Only in very specialized areas where maybe they've been doing some specialized research, mm-hmm. Some work in some special areas, you know. So I don't want to say too much, but
I understand.
But there are some, there are a few areas where there's a small handful of folks who have gotten some really cool experience. Mm-hmm. And yes, it can apply to the outside world. But part of that's also helping the outside world, the commercial world, to understand how that applies.
Understood. Understood. And that application is something that can't be explained.
Exactly.
I totally get it. We, Columbia Technology Partners, is reaping the benefits of working for the government in a recent teaming agreement that we have with a company that says they want to work with somebody who has worked with the government.
Yeah.
It got us on the team. And
sure,
that may very well be something that you can hang your hat on as well, mm-hmm. you listener, hello. Mm-hmm. You sitting there at your desk saying to yourself, I can do this better on my own. Can you? That's the question.
Right.
That you need to ask yourself, can you do this better on your own?
Plus, there's another piece to add to this, an example.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do have your own business and you are working in a particular environment, in this case, am I even allowed to talk about the customer?
Yeah, right here? Yeah, yeah.
All right, so working up here at Fort Meade, right?
Sure.
So we've been working at Fort Meade for 21 years. Well, I have found a number of companies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of companies who would like to work here that don't.
Right.
Right. And so just recently, I've been offered some tremendous opportunities to work for the FBI, mm-hmm. in several locations and to be on a winning team for that in exchange for helping them to get access to our contract vehicles,
right.
and to start to gain that experience and getting people cleared and, you know, to the right level and things like that. So
sure.
Yeah, we are using that to help us branch into other areas.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a bargaining chip that is one that is played quite frequently in this marketplace, mm-hmm. in the Central Maryland area. Let's back up a little bit and
sure.
talk about teaming. You guys have been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
It's not something that you can do on your own every day. You're examining, and I want to take a look at book knowledge again. Mm-hmm. Those of you who are PMPs or acquisition strategy professionals and such, you may have learned how it works in your books, but putting it in practice may be slightly different. Is
sure.
that an accurate assessment?
Sure, sure.
What do you look for with regard to teaming? Are you examining the entire acquisition strategy and building a team around what you think will help you win? Or what are the key, what are the hot buttons that you try to always push when putting a team together?
So the first thing, and the thing you want the most, obviously, is anybody who has incumbency,
uh-huh.
right? That's the first thing. If you, especially if you're not, if this is a recompete, then you definitely need to try to find incumbency. And sometimes that's very hard because typically the incumbents are locked up. So you're already one step behind, right?
Sure.
Trying to get to the finish line. Once you do that, then the next thing is, fine, what are things that are equivalent? What's the equivalent experience that you could try to explain in your proposal? That, yeah, we don't have experience with tool A, but tool B does the same thing, and we have experience with that, right? So you're trying to find those equivalencies, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking at your team to try to build out those qualifications to try to meet the need of whatever the customer has.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important. But now there's something even more important, right? And that is, you know, you just need to make sure that your teammates are solid. Okay, you got to make sure your teammates are solid. I'm not going to say much more than that today. But maybe we can talk about that in the future. Okay?
Understood.
So
understood.
You need to make sure your teammates are solid, that's not something that's going to come back to bite you later. And but you know, ultimately, you have to tell a great story. That's what a proposal is. It's a story. Mm-hmm. You have to tell a great story. Why me? Why pick, you know, your team? And that's the bottom line. So whatever it takes to build that team to be able to compete and say that you are better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So, and of course, I mean, we could go into a whole discussion just on proposals and how to write proposals and how to ghost and everything else, right? That's, save that for another day.
But, sure.
But you have to really understand your competition, know their strengths and weaknesses, and then, of course, show their weaknesses against your strengths, and hopefully you can win.
Let's say you do win, you've submitted that proposal, yep. You come across winning. Which is more difficult, developing the proposal to win or actually executing?
Okay. Actually executing.
Okay.
You know, because proposal writing is an art, mm-hmm. and there are some good people out there that they can write a proposal all day long. Writing the proposal is fairly straightforward for those who've done it a lot, mm-hmm. you know, and those of us who have done it a lot, we say that we're cursed, right? Because nobody wants to write a proposal, but everybody needs them.
Sure.
And if somebody finds out that you know how to write and that you can write a good, and that you can manage a good proposal, oh my gosh, then you're just tagged for life. You're scarred for life, because then you get called all the time.
Necessary evil.
You know, it is, right? And so there are a few good people out there who mm-hmm. have decided to take that challenge on, and that's what they're just going to do.
Right.
And they're really good at it. So that's why I'm saying the writing part to me is actually easier than the execution. So, Randy, why is execution so hard? That's a great question.
Oh my gosh, I was just going to ask you that.
That's what I thought. So the reason why is something I alluded to earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which is you still have to work with the customer within the rules that they've laid down, and if they're not going to accept your resumes that you're submitting, then you got a problem, right? Houston,
right.
We have a problem. So how do you execute in an environment where you have already, so they say, yes, you have to report, your people have to be on contract within 2 weeks of the start of the program. Okay, great. So has anybody talked to the current CO of that contract? Does the CO understand the security process? Does the CO understand that we may have already submitted the person into contractor clearances, right? But crickets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Hello, we need these people, yeah. Right? So then you have to manage the government contracting people and the government security people, and you have to get them to talk and get them, you know, is that my job? But yes, it is.
It
why?
Is. Ultimately,
because
it does
ultimately,
become your job.
Ultimately, it's up to us to execute.
Sure.
And so you need to be aware of all of these types of issues before the day one of execution, because you got to be ready. You got to know who you're working with, what their tendencies are, and be able to respond quickly. Otherwise, you're going to be behind the eight ball right from the start.
Program manager key in this, or is this something that you, as the vice president, is going to take on, or how is that going to work moving forward for you guys?
Well, you hope that your PM is well tested and has been through this multiple times.
Sure.
You know, otherwise, then you know some other senior folks have to step up and help with the transition. So, for example, the program I mentioned earlier, where we were transitioning from one program to the other,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't my program.
Right.
You know, I wasn't responsible for that program, but because of my experience in doing transitions, I stepped in just to be, if you will, the transition manager. I'm using air quotes like you. The transition manager for the first 45 days, and my job was to get everybody transitioned. Right?
Gotcha.
And so that way the PM could focus on normal execution. So that might be a good little lesson to learn here, is that if you are if you have something already and you're transitioning, you really need to have a transition manager focused
mm-hmm.
on just the transition and dealing with that, so that your PM can focus on everything else.
Do you ever have issues with the incumbent, let's say, actually walking out the door, or does the government take care of that for you?
Well, it just depends. I'm sorry to sort of take the middle of the road there,
but it just
depends on the program.
Sure.
There are sometimes when the incumbents will work with you,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes when they won't. sometimes, you know, there's a big hint. The customer says we need person X or person Y.
Sure.
And sometimes there's a big hint that says we really don't want person X or person Y. Right. Right? So you sort of have to balance that because, no, it's not a personal services contract. I understand that. But again, trying to work with the customer without, you know, causing issues.
Sure.
You do have to read between the tea leaves sometimes.
Sure.
Between the lines sometimes to make sure you're doing the right thing.
You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and of course on federalnewsradio.com on demand anytime. My guest is Vice President Randy Ambuhl. How does that sound? Vice President Randy Ambuhl. Like, that has a nice ring to it.
Well, if I was the Vice President of the United States, then that would have a nice ring to it.
But Vice President of Exceptional Software right. Strategy, that's good enough as well.
I'll take it.
There you go. There you go. Give us a website where people can find out. I'm sure you're always looking for teaming partners and such.
Sure.
Where can people find out information about the company?
Sure. It's exceptionalsoftware.com. No spaces, no underbar, no dash, just exceptionalsoftware.com.
So there's a person listening now on the radio who's saying, wow, you know what? I think I probably can do this. I'm going to do this. However, they're on contract. They are thinking about opening up their own business, hanging out their own shingle. Mm-hmm. How important are things like business development meetings, getting involved with FCA Central Maryland, the various other organizations out there. I'm just throwing FCA out there as one of them because that's the one that everybody really hangs their hat on at this point in this area anyway. How important are things like that, and how much time is that going to take away from their billable hours?
Sure. So that's something that a person who's trying to start out, they really need to think about. You know, networking, right? There's a lot of small businesses in this market that they just got their start because a bunch of friends got together and said, hey, you know what? We're all working this program. Why don't we just say that, you know, that we're starting a company and we're going to just walk out and then they're forced back on again. It happens, right? I can give plenty of examples, right? Where a core team says, look, you know, we're starting our own company. So, you know, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
To force their way, you know, back in, right? Now, I say that force. There are times when that happens and it's amicable, right? So it's easy many times to just get that first subcontract, you know, to just be able to be billable. And then, you know, they all have a party and, you know, smoke cigars off the back porch, right? But if they're not really thinking long term, then there's a lot of things that they miss.
Right.
And that many times is where folks have a problem, you know? Do they have a line of credit? Do they, you know, how are they handling insurance? Right. What are they going to do about when this job is over? Maybe it's a 4-year contract and they're in at the beginning. Good for them. So they have a good head start and they have time. Maybe they weren't thinking about that. Oops.
Yeah.
And there's only 12 months left on the contract. And so they better have something ready within 12 months or they're in jeopardy. Right. So there's lots of things to think about. But networking is really important. So. You know, there's still lots of different networking opportunities. Just ask around. But, you know, that is important because you sort of need to make sure you know what's coming down the road.
Right.
I mean, do they have an ARC account? Are they logged into the ARC and checking to see what's the work that's coming?
Sure.
Right. And be ready to start. So to do it right, to be a real business and not just a quick startup just for fun. Right? There's a lot of work that they need to be doing to sustain the company.
Are you available for consulting services? Can you, with regard to opening up a business?
No. I have enough issues and enough work, and I'm working enough hours. It is. In fact, it's my wife that's telling you no.
No, okay.
Right now.
Never mind
the fact that my employer would say no, but my wife beats the employer to the punch and says no. Right.
Understood. When you're looking at, and you mentioned a very good point here, we talk about growth and we talk about growing organically versus on contract.
Yes.
You just said you're opening up that business and you're thinking short term rather than long term.
Right.
How much long-term strategy are you involved in ensuring that all the pieces in your puzzle sure. have a place to land?
Sure. So on my board right now, I have all the opportunities that we're chasing up for the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. I have it all mapped out. It's on my board. And that's just the ones that I'm more hopeful about. Mm-hmm. That's not everything that we're looking at. And so you really do have to have some strategy sessions, and that's what we do in our executive management meeting, which we have weekly. We don't cover this particular topic every week, but at least once a month, we're talking about, you know, looking forward and say, okay, what are the opportunities we're looking at? Are they still on track? Do we need to make some changes? Mm-hmm. You know, where are we focused? And what is going to be the impact to our employees? Because one of the things that we stress here, especially if you come in here for an interview with me, one of the things that I always am trying to determine is not, oh, what seat can you fit in today? No, I want to know what's Alan's second position, his second opportunity at Exceptional is going to be. What's the third? I want to know what is the path, the mm-hmm. career path, what is the trajectory that Alan is on? Because here's why. Today, we may be at the same point, mm-hmm. but if we're on two different trajectories, you're not going to stay with us for very long.
Right.
You're good for today, but you may not be, you know, you decide, you know, today you're a software engineer and tomorrow you really want to be in radio. Okay, well, that could be a problem. Okay, all right. Not to pick on you at all.
No, of course
right?
not. No, of course
so,
not.
You know, that could be a problem, right? So it works today, but not long term. So right. we're always looking. So then when we're looking at opportunities down the road, it's like, okay, so, all right, well, which of our programs are going to be coming to a close? What's our chance of winning any? Is there going to be a recompete? If not, okay, well, so where am I going to put these 10 people? Mm-hmm. I need to be thinking about opportunity. And it actually gets to the point where we actually need to think about every single person.
Sure.
We're not a large integrator. I won't mention any company names around here, right? We're not any of the large companies around here that where you're just a number, mm-hmm. right? No, we actually think about each person and say, okay, well, what's their next position going to be and are we ready for that? Mm-hmm. That takes effort. Right.
That's exhausting just hearing you describe it, to be honest with you.
You know, and, oh, by the way, if you want to be a vice president, hey, that's part of the job, right? You know, other duties is assigned, right? Yeah, you don't get to just do all fun stuff, sure. right? You know, you're sitting there worrying about everybody.
Sure.
You know, what are we going to do next? So that you have to think about the whole picture,
right?
Down to every single employee in the company. You know, one of the things that keeps me up at night is the fact that I am responsible for the livelihood of 100 families.
Yeah.
It's not just the employee, yeah. it's their entire family. And so when somebody is having a problem on the job, I'm thinking about the family that's involved here, right? So it isn't just an employee. So, you know, those are the types of things that do keep me up at night.
Wow, that's pretty deep.
So. Well, hopefully other companies operate the same way.
Well, I would like to think that they do. I mean, that's a real personal element that you add to that, and that's impressive. And I would hope that other companies do the same thing. I'm pretty sure that mine does this. I know mine does the same thing. Not pretty sure. I know that mine reacts the same way.
Yes.
His name is Randy Ambule. The company is called Exceptional Software Strategies. They are amazing. ExceptionalSoftware.com is where you'll find them. I consider them a trusted partner. Don't know how they feel about me. I guess I'll find out once I turn this off. But in the meantime, Randy, website, I guess, or phone number, people want to contact you?
Sure. You can just contact us at ExceptionalSoftware.com. If you're looking for a job, send a resume to recruiting at ExceptionalSoftware.com. If you want to talk to me specifically, Randy.Ambule, A-M-B-U-E-L, Randy.Ambule at ExceptionalSoftware.com.
Exceptional Software Strategies of the company. Randy, thank you for being a part of the program. I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure.
This has been Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime, heard exclusively on Federal News Radio 1500 AM or on demand anytime at federalnewsradio.com.